Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Ayin Tes. We actually started the first line of Ayin Tes yesterday, but we'll just go back to the very end of Ayin Ches Amud Beis, and we'll pick up where it tells us the last few words on Ayin Ches Amud Beis. Amar David. David tells us there were two things that we mentioned in yesterday's share. One, we praised Shaul, and David didn't eulogize him properly, and David was held accountable. That's why there was a famine. And David is now saying, there's nothing I can do about it. Although we mentioned yesterday there were several things that David, in fact, did to make up for the fact that Shaul wasn't eulogized properly. But now it's too late. Nof Guluhu, when we turn to Ayin Tes Amud Aleph, Trei Sayachi Shaul. So as Rashi points out, the top Rashi, that it was way more than 12 months. It was actually closer to 30 years since Shaul's death, and nevertheless, David had said, I did what I could do at this point in time. Ein derech kavod lispot acha yud beis chodesh. It's not proper to have a huge eulogy after 12 months, because acha shnis kabul tanchum in alameis, the people that are mourning the loss of that person have, so to say, accepted tanchum. As we pointed out yesterday, 12 months is a time that you remember strongly. After that, the memories don't ever go away, but the strong hurt from the loss is somewhat diminished, and therefore it's inappropriate to go and like bring those feelings back. So therefore, David said, nothing I can do about that at this point in time. Lo darko lo mispidei. It's inappropriate at this point to eulogize him further. It's been so long since his death. However, the problem of the Nesinim that Shaul, by having Doeg wipe out Novir HaKohanim, had caused the Givonim to lose their livelihood, and that's considered as if Shaul killed them, so that's something I can do about. We can go and appease the Nesinim. So he said, Nesinim, let's go, Nikrinu, let's go and call them, Vinifaisinu, and let's go and appease them. The Bachet's the word, Miad, immediately. What did David say? So David says, now we read two psukim here. Vayikru HaMelech LaGivonim, David called to the Givonim, Vayomer Elohim, he said to them, but LaGivonim, Lo B'nei Yisrael, we don't have this on Gemara, but this is the rest of that pasuk. The Givonim are not considered part of Klal Yisrael. They're not allowed to be Yovel HaKol. Ki im miyeser ha'amori uvnei Yisrael nishbu lehem. They are considered outside of the fold, and therefore Klal Yisrael is not allowed to go and marry into them. So we promised and we swore nishbu lehem vayvaki shol lakosam b'kanosol uvnei Yisrael v'yehuda. And Shaul went and attacked them because of what they did to Klal Yisrael. And then the next pasuk, Vayomer David el haGivonim, and here we can pick it up in our Gemara. David says to the Givonim, Mo eseh lochem, ubameh achaper, what can we do to you to have you be atoned for? Ubaruch esnachlet Hashem, that you should now praise Klal Yisrael, bless Klal Yisrael, instead of you being the source of there being a famine in Klal Yisrael. Now, that's what David says to the Givonim. The Givonim respond back to him, and they say, Vayomulah Givonim, the Givonim tell David HaMelech, Ein lanu kasev ezov im Shaul v'im Beiso. We're not looking for money from Shaul and his family. As Rashi points out in Dibur Masal, Ein lanu, Litvoa l'Shaul l'Beiso. We're not interested, lo kasev, lo zov. We don't want monetary reimbursement. Ki im nefashos. They were very cruel people. They said they wanted blood. They wanted Shaul's relatives to be killed. So we're not interested in killing the rest of Klal Yisrael. Ki im bizarro. We just want to go and have Shaul's descendants killed. That's the terrible, terrible character that the Givonim had, that they wanted to only get an atonement, so to say, if there was going to be death in Shaul's family. Now, they suggested, Yutan lanu shivu anoshim mibanav. Give us seven of his descendants. V'ukanum l'Hashem v'gomer. And we will go, and Rashi says v'ukanum means t'liya. We'll go and hang them in order for us to be appeased, in order for us to get atonement, so to say, and stop this plague in Klal Yisrael. Yushalmi brings down that specifically there were seven givonim that were hurt. Their parnasa was hurt by the killing of Novir HaKohanim, so that's why they asked for seven lives from Saul's family, from his progeny. David obviously wasn't happy with this. Mephias, he tried to say, no, can't we do something else? Can't we do something else? Lo paisinu, but he wasn't able to go and calm them down in any other way. So he said about the Givonim, they're not like Klal Yisrael. Omar, he said, Shlosha simonim yesh b'mazu. There are three things that Klal Yisrael is well known for. We are Rachmanim, Vaishanim, and Gomel Chasodim. So we are considered to be people that are very, very merciful. We're embarrassed when we do something wrong, and we do constantly acts of chesed towards other people. So these are like inbred into the DNA of Klal Yisrael. Where do we see this? Rachmanim. Where do we see the Klai Yisrael is described as Rachmanim? The Pasuk tells us, Hashem put this into us, and we are merciful, and we will go, and as a result of that, be successful, we will go and multiply. And this is Keneged Abram Avinu, according to the Mefarshim. Trait of Baishanim, that we see from the Pasuk, Bavur Tiyeh Yiraso Apneichem, that we constantly have this fear of God on our faces, that we're embarrassed when we do something wrong, and unfortunately this is Keneged Yitzhak Avinu. And Gomel Chasodim, this is Keneged Yaakov. Some switch it around and say the Rachmanim is Yaakov, and the Gomel Chasodim is Abram Avinu. In any event, the Pasuk tells us, Lamana Sheyitzadeh is Bona of the Esbeis of a Gomer. Actually says this by Abram Avinu, that he did chesed. That's the end of the pasuk. The pasuk says, "Habris v'yachesed." So that's a reference to Klai Yisrael's definition or defining characteristic of being a people that are gomli chasodim. So David said, "Kol sheyesh bo shloshu simanim halalu royli David b'umazu." Somebody has these character traits, so it's appropriate that we bring them in. They could possibly be part of Kal Hashem. But by implication, the Givonim, and in fact, Rashi elsewhere brings down in Shmuel Beis, he says, the Hain, Heru ba'atzma midas achzorius, by saying that we demand to have lives over here for the fact that Novira Kohanim no longer was around and the people lost their livelihood and they demanded lives against that. You can see Shaina Mizaru Shal Abram Avinu, they're not from the progeny of even Abram Avinu, they don't ruin the Dovek B'Yisrael, and it's inappropriate for them to attach themselves to Klai Yisrael. And therefore, now David HaMelech Gozar Aleim David Shalo Yavo B'Kal. He said that they can't come into the Kal. Now, we'll ask in the Gemara a few minutes, well, Yeshua already was goes that they shouldn't come into the Kal, so we'll get back to that in a moment. In any event, because they didn't have these three simanim, so therefore, they're not appropriate that they should ever come into the Kal. Therefore, what happened? Vayikach HaMelech Hashnei B'nei Ritzba Bas Aya. So David goes and takes the two sons of Ritzba Bas Aya, who was a wife of Shaul, Asher Yoldo L'Shaul, and these two sons are Es Armoni, the Es Mephibosheth, and he, in addition, that's two, and then he takes the Es Chameshes B'nei Michal, Bas Shaul, Asher Yoldo L'Adriel, Ben Barzilai, Hamechulasi, and he takes the five children that were Michal's children. Now, the Mepharshim will bring down, and you can see this in Rashi in Sanhedrin, where it says, V'chi Michal Yolda, could it be that Michal was the mother of these five children? V'alo Meirav Yolda. Meirav was the one that was married to Adriel, and she gave birth to them. And Rashi there brings out a very important principle. Ella Meirav Yolda, yes, Meirav was the biological mother, but she never died young. U'michal Godla, and Michal raised these five children. L'fikoch Nikra al Shema. Therefore, they refer to as her children. Because of the famous principle, Hamagadol Yosom, the Yisoma B'soch Beisom. Somebody raises other people's children. He raises orphans, Nebuch, in his own house. Kilu Yoldu, as if he gave birth to them. And the Nikra al Shema. And they're always referred to as his children, or her children, in this case, Michal. So these are the seven descendants of Shaul HaMelech. And the Gemara says, Maishna Hani, why these seven specifically? And how did David have the right to go and pick these seven? So Rav Huna said, David didn't pick them. He brought them to the Aron, and he asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu what to do. Have you room with Nei Aron, Kol Sharon Kol Tasu Lemisa, Kol Shein Aron Kol Tau Lechayim. Anyone that the Aron, so to say, took, so then were the ones that were given over to the Givonim Lemisa. This was a Xeris HaKasa from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Otherwise, David wouldn't have had the right to do this. And those that the Aron didn't take from Shaul's descendants, they went on to live. Moser Ruchana Barakhtina asked, but the pasuk before that says, Vayachmal HaMelech HaMivibosha Ben Yonasan Ben Yoshal, that David HaMelech had mercy on Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was his Rebbe, and he was also Yonasan's son, and therefore he didn't want to do anything that would hurt Mephibosheth. So how could he do this if the Aron grabbed him? So how could David have mercy on him? So Gemara says, he never brought him to the Aron. Shlo haviro. Aye, Gemara says, uchimaso ponim yesh badover. But are you allowed to play favorites over here? If there were going to be seven people that were going to be taken, and he removes Mephibosheth, so then he's basically substituting somebody else. How does David have the right to do that? So Gemara says, you're right. He didn't take him away beforehand. He had mercy on him, but Ella shehaviro ukilato. So he brought him in front of the Aron. The Aron did grab Mephibosheth within David on behalf of Mephibosheth, uvikish lo rachmim upilato. And the Aron, so to say, spit him out. The Aron took somebody else. Again, the Gemara says, "Vastel, Bakati, Masu, Ponim, Yesh, Badova, are you allowed to do this? After all, it meant that somebody else was going to go and be taken in his place." So the Gemara says, "Elo, Shabike, Shracham, and Shaloyik, Litenu, Aaron." He davened preemptively beforehand that the Aaron shouldn't go and take him. I, the Gemara now asks, "Vahoksiv, Lo, Yumusu, Ovos, Albonim, Vagomer," and the children shouldn't ever suffer for the sins of their parents. So how could the seven descendants of Shaul be punished now for something that Shaul and Doeg had done? Again, this entire very difficult to understand episode was done, so to say, with Kaviyochel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's assistance, that the Aron allowed this. So, Amar Chia Bar Abba, Amar Yochanan, Mutav Sheteoker Os Achas Min HaTorah, this was a terrible chilul Hashem, and therefore it was preferable that this din in the Torah, so to say, of not going and giving over people to enemy in order to save the rest of Klal Yisrael. Normally you can't do that. If they ask for a specific person, so then sometimes the din is you're allowed to hand them over. But when they just ask, so give us seven people, so you're not allowed to go and give them. And everybody has to die rather than giving over seven unnamed people, unasked for people. So here, that would be preferable that we, so to say, not follow this din in the Torah in order that there shouldn't be a Chilul Hashem, because it was a tremendous Chilul Hashem, as the Gemara will relate, when no Ira Kohanim was wiped out and the Givonim lost their Parnasa. So this led to a great Chilul Hashem, and therefore that's why this entire somewhat difficult to understand episode of how the Aron could do this was in fact allowed and done by a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Now, before we all bring down, that obviously these seven people will chayev misa for another reason, and the Aron just didn't hand over seven innocent people, and that somehow these seven people that were handed over to the Gevonim and the Gevonim killed were in fact all chayev misa in any account. The Gemara continues by quoting the Psukim in Shmuel Beis, and it tells us, Vatikach Ritzpah, after the Gevonim hung these seven descendants of Shaul, so Ritzpah Bas Aya went, and she took a sackcloth, batateu lo el hatzur mitichlas katzir ad nitach mayim aleya min hashamayim. So she covered up the seven people that were left hanging. They didn't go and bury them for a long period of time, and she protected these bodies from being eaten by the birds. Lo nos na ofa shamayim lo nuach aleyam yomam. The es chayas asada loyla, and she prevented the birds during the day from going and eating these nebuch, these corpses, and the animals at night from going and killing them. The girsa that we have doesn't have the word the es chayas asoda, but that's the right girsa. In any event, this again is a very strange thing. Gemara says vaksiv lo solin nivlos walo eitz, but we have a rule that when you go and give somebody misas based and then go and hang them, you only hang them for a very short period of time. You put them up and then you bring them right down. It's not proper covered for a mace. Even a person who's chayav misa and received misas based it, so we don't leave them hanging for a long time. And here they were left hanging for a very, very long period of time. So Gemara says, again, similar to what we just brought down a minute ago, Amr Yochanan Mishum Rav Shimon and Yod Sadak. Rav Yochanan said the name of Shimon and Yod Sadak. Rav Yochanan is often quoted saying things over names of Tanoim, not directly, and mentioned again many times. The word Mishum means that he didn't hear it directly. There were intervening Rabbanim in between that taught it to him, and they learned it from there. They came all the way down from Rav Shimon and Yod Sadak. Again, the same idea that we had just brought down the name of Rav Yochanan from his own statement without mentioning it in this Gadol's name. It's better that we should even go against what normally would be a din in the Torah of lo solin and lo solo eight, and not have a chilul Hashem. Better that there should be a kiddush shemayim b'fahesya. To make a public display of kiddush Hashem is very important. Why? How did this make a huge kiddush Hashem? So listen to this. Show you over in Vishavim, the passerbys, when they would see these people hanging from the tree, Omen, they would say, Ma tivan shalelu? How come these people are hanging here? We know the din is only that you go and bury somebody. Why have you left these people hanging over here? So the people would be taught, the passersby would be taught, Halalu b'nei melachim. These were the sons of kings. These were Shaul HaMelech's descendants. They're very, very important people. And nevertheless, they were hung. Nu, so the shavim, for ovim, they would say, Nu, what did they do? Me'asu. So they told them what happened. Pashtu yideim begerim gerurim. They hurt these very, very low people, these gerim gerurim, these low gibonim that were of a very, very base nature. And yet, these kings children, these princes, they had hurt the lowest of the low, and look how they're punished. So all the passers-by, the Ovi Mishavim would say, Ein lecha uma shiruya lidavik ba kizu. There is no nation in the world that is so appropriate for us to want to be part of, because look at this. Uma b'nei melachim kach. This is the way they treat the princes in the nation. They don't let them get away with anything. So certainly, b'nei hedyotos halachas kam v'kama. So imagine if these people had been lay people instead of the sons of princes, how much more they would have been punished. And uma gerim gerurim kach. And look that the Torah and the Jewish people stood up for even the lowest of the low. They did this to protect the Gibbonim, who were the lowest of the low. So certainly Yisrael, Allah has come, how much more so are they giving justice to people that deserve to have justice given to them? And immediately, Miyad, Nitosu al Yisrael, Meya, the Chamishim Aleph Gerim. So immediately 150,000 people converted because they saw this and made such a Kiddush Hashem. Shenemar, as the Pasuk tells us, Pasuk Melacha Aleph, Vayhi Lishlomo, Shivim Elef Nosei Sabal. Shlomo had 70,000 people that were carrying his loads, Ushmonim Elef Chosei Bahar, and he had 80,000 people that were quarrying in the mountains. Nu, the Gemara says, how do we know that these people were all converts? V'domei Yisrael, Havu, the Gemara says, maybe they were regular Yidden. So the Gemara says, Lo Sakadaita, don't think that, because the Pasuk also says, Dechsev, Ubibnei Yisrael, Lenos and Shlomo Ovid. That Shlomo didn't conscript anybody to go and work on the building of the Beis HaMikdash and building of the palace. He totally hired people that weren't from Klai Yisrael. They were Avadim, and that's these 150,000 people that were converted. The Gemara says, still, V'domei Dogzar Bi'alma. Maybe they were what are known as dogs are. Rashi says this means sechirim. These are people that were hired hand. So he hired out 150,000 people. So they weren't converts. They were people that he just hired. So he says, you're right, Taki. You can't prove it from there. El Mihacha. From this passage, it says, Vayispor Shlomo. Shlomo counted kol anoshim hagerim asher beres Yisrael v'gomer. He counted all of these people that were gerim, that were converts in Klai Yisrael. And the Vegomer is Achrei HaSefor, Asher Seforim David, after David of it, his father counted them. And it says, here we continue in our Gemara, Vayimitsu Meya V'chamishim Elef. And it turns out there were 150,000 people there, and the Vegomer is Ushloshis Alofim V'sheish Mios, and it wasn't exactly 150,000, it was 153,600. And then we continue, Vayasmihem Shivim Elef. And then Shlomo HaMelech made for them 70,000. Now the word should be Sabal instead of Nosei. Ushmonim Elef Chotzev Bohar. And 80,000 then that were quarrying the mountain. And then the pasuk continues. Ushloshes Alefim Vishesh Meyos Menatzchim Lahavid Esa'am. And another 3,600 people in addition. So this is the 150,000. It's rounded off to 150,000 that show they were gerim during this time, and they became gerim because of the huge Kiddush Hashem that was done with the handing over of Shaul's seven descendants to the Gevonim, and they were never killed and hung on a tree. Now the Gemara says, wait a second, you're telling me that David HaMelech was gozer because these Gevonim clearly demonstrated they were not Rachmonim, Baishonim, and Gomri Chasodim. So David HaMelech said, you can never come into the Kal of Hashem. When it's seen him, David goes our land, Moshe goes our land. We find in the Torah, in the Varim, it tells us, they'll say, Mechotei Veitzecha Ad Shoev Menecha, that Moshe Rabbeinu had assigned certain people to be the Chotei Veitzecha, to chop the wood, and Shoev Menecha, to carry the water, to draw the water for Klai Yisrael. Now this wasn't talking to the Givonim, this was talking about other people. But in any event, you see that these people were also not allowed to come into Kal Hashem. So Moshe says, you're right. Moshe gozer lahaudora. Moshe only made gzeira for that generation, but the subsequent generations would be able to love all a call. Their children could come into the call. So Moshe says, David gozer l'kulei dora. And David here was gozer that even the descendants, the children of the Givonim, couldn't come into the call. Moshe says, wait a second. Still, Yoshua was the one that was gozer on the Nesinim. Vakase, Yoshua gozer alayi. Yoshua was the one that the Nesinim, the Givonim, tricked him into saying that they were from far away, but they really were from the Givonim, from the Zayin Umamin. And Dechsev, the apostle says, Vayitnem Yoshua Bayomahu. So Yeshua was tricked, so he kept his word, but he made them into Chotzi Yetzin Shove Mayim. He made them into the wood choppers and the water carriers, La'edah for Klai Yisrael, Mizbach Hashem, and for the Mizbeach. But they were not allowed to be Yovel Lakol already from the time of Yehoshua. They were designed to only have those jobs, but not to come into Klai Yisrael. How can you see that David was goes there? So again, the Gemara says that was a temporary decree. Yeshua goes every man to Beis Hamikdash Kayim. Yeshua's decree was only during the time of the Beis Hamikdash. David goes every man to Beis Hamikdash Kayim. David carried out this decree forever. He said even when there is no Beis Hamikdash, they won't be able to go and enter Lovol Lakov. And the Sinim were forever forbidden Lovol Lakov. We turn to Ayin Tesla with Beis. So the Gemara says, Bimei Rebbe Bikshu Lahatu Nesinim. But later on, subsequently, during the days of Yehuda Nasi, the Chachamim at that time said, let's go and allow the Nesinim to come into Klai Yisro. Let them come and marry into the Kahal, and they can be like everybody else. As Rashi tells us, Basin would have the power, Yecholim Basin Lahatu, Lahafkir, Chalkum Shal Yisro. As we're going to see later on in the Gemara, Hefker based in Hefker. So the Basin has the power to go and do certain things. So the Beis Din, the other Tamidei Chacham in the time of Rebbe, they said, let's go and allow the Nesinim to come into Klai Yisrael. For whatever the reason, they felt that it was necessary that now the Nesinim could come into Klai Yisrael. So Rebbe was not going to allow this. Amalem Rebbe, Rebbe said, Chalkeinu Natir. Okay, we have the right, Hefker based in Hefker, to go and, so to say, give up our rights to prevent the Nesinim from coming in, and we can allow the Nesinim to come in. But chelik mizbeach miyatir, but it belongs also to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It belongs to the mizbeach. As we just brought down in the Pasuk says that the Nesinim were working lo eida ula mizbeach Hashem ara yom hazeh. So therefore, we don't have the right to go and be matir them from the part that belongs from them to the mizbeach. Chelik mizbeach miyatir. So therefore, Rebbe was against allowing the Nesinim to come in to get be part of Kahal of Klai Yisrael, and his opinion won out. Alternatively, Upliga the Reb Chiya Bar Abba, this goes against what Reb Chiya Bar Abba had said. He came to the same total conclusion, but he had said, "Damer Reb Chiya Bar Abba, Amar Yochan." He said, "Near Reb Yochan, the Chelik Eida Liola Moser." No, that the poor portion of the Nesinim that belonged to Klai Yisrael, they didn't have the right to go and ever get rid of. As Rashi says, that which we said, the chelik mizbeach miyatir, says no, the mizbeach could be matir. However, it would be also to go and give up their chelik in Klai Yisrael in the Nesinim. They didn't have the right to do that. So chelik eida liolam osur. And Rashi points out there would be olam osur until they all got together and they all said achiyatiru, until all of the beis then got together, they could have the right theoretically to go and say hefker beis and hefker. So that's not what happened over here. So it was a chelik mizbeach bisman shebeis hamikdash kaim osur. Ain Beis Hamikdash Kayim, then sharp. It wasn't the Mizbeach that was the problem. The Mizbeach wouldn't have been a problem because the Mizbeach was a time-related type of din. While there was a Mizbeach, so then there was no right to be mounted in the Nesinim. When there was no Mizbeach, then the Nesinim could technically come to the Kahal if, in that situation, the entire Beis Din was matir, this concept that the Nesinim couldn't bow lakol. So Reb Chiya Bar Abba disagrees with what Rebbe was worked down the name of Rebbe. Okay, very, very interesting story, a difficult story in some ways to understand. We go to the next Mishnah. Amar Yeshua. Yeshua says, Shamati, I had heard from my Rabbeim, Shahasaris, a person that is incapable of having children. He is castrated in some way. We'll define this again. What exactly it means to be a Saris. There's a Sris Chama and Sris Odom that we've talked about, and we'll see what Rabbi Yeshua is talking about. So he said, there is a din that I heard that a Sris is Choletz, is allowed to be the one that does Chalitza, V'Choletz and Lishto, or if he died, that his wife can have Chalitza done to her. Then he said, I heard the exact opposite thing. I heard by Saris, Lo Choletz, the Saris is not allowed to do Chalitza, and likewise, if the Saris is the one that died, the Lo Choletz and Lishto, his brothers of the Saris don't do Chalitza to the Saris' wife. And he says, I don't know how to explain these two contradictory statements that I heard from my Rebbeim. So his Talmud, Rabbi Akiva, speaks up and says, I'm Rabbi Akiva, Ani Afarish. I could explain this in the following way. When we said that a Saris is allowed to do Chalitz v'Choletz and Lishto, that's dealing with a Sris Odom. Sris Odom, Choletz v'Choletz and Lishto. A person who's a Sris Odom, Rashi defines Sris Odom as Shinistares li'achar shenolat. This is due to an injury of some sort, either a traumatic injury or even through illness of some sort that occurs after birth. So the person was born perfectly fertile, perfectly normal, but then something happened to him afterwards. That's called the Sris Odom. So a Sris Odom, Rabbi Kiva says, he does Chalitza, and if he's the one that passes away, his wife undergoes Chalitza. Why? Because he had a moment that he was a fully eligible person to do Chalitza or to have Chalitza done to his wife because he originally had fertility capabilities, but then something happened, so granted, that makes him into a Sris, but that doesn't take away the fact that Choletz v'Choletz l'Ishto. Now, That's Rabbi Akiva's opinion about the first statement from Yeshua that a Sris, which is referring to a Sris Adam, is Cholis Chotzen Lishto. The second statement there Rabbi Yeshua had made, Sris Chama, is dealing with a Sris Chama. A Sris Chama, Rashi says, Mimei Imo, he was born that way. It was a congenital status of being castrated in some way. So the Sris Chama, that's the statement that Yeshua made, Lo Cholitz, Lo Chotzen Lishto. He doesn't undergo Chalitza, he can't be the one to be Cholitz himself, or he... His wife, if he dies, if the Swiss dies, his wife doesn't require chalitza. What's the reasoning? As opposed to the Swiss Adam that had a shasa kosher, this child was born in this way. He never had a moment where he was fertile, and therefore he doesn't do chalitza, or his wife doesn't have to undergo chalitza. That's Rabbi Akiva's explaining of Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Eliezer disagrees. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Loki, that's incorrect. Rabbi Eliezer disagrees with the way Rabbi Akiva understood this, and he said, no. Elo, Sris Chama, Choletz, Choletz, Lishto. The exact opposite. He says the Sris Chama is the person that does Chalitza, or his wife would be able to undergo Chalitza if the Sris died. Why? Mipnei Sheyesh Lo Refuah. He says that the critical factor is it correctable? And the Sris Chama, somebody who's born this way, they have the potential to have it corrected. That's Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. And it's the Sris Adam, which was the second statement that Rabbi Yeshua made, Lo Choletz, Lo Choltzen Le'ishto, why? B'nei She'en Lo Refuah. He says a person who has either this traumatic injury or has some sort of a sickness is not going to be able to be cured. So it's the potential to still have fertility in the future that is a critical characteristic, according to Rabbi Eliezer. So we have this machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer, how to understand the two statements that Rabbi Yeshua had made in the beginning of the Mishnah. And then we have Hayid Rabbi Yeshua ben Beseira. Rabbi Yeshua Mesera gives testimony al Ben Megusas, that's the name of this person, Ben Megusas, about this person, Shoyi Yerushalayim, living in Yerushalayim, and he was a Sris Adam. He was a person who had originally been born without being a Sris, and then subsequently something happened and became a Sris, and in fact, when he passed away, the Yibmu es Ishto, L'kayim Divrei Rabbi Akiva. They, in fact, allowed Yibam to be done with his wife, which otherwise would be an Isser of Eishes, Och, Shalom B'makom Mitzvah, if there was no obligation. So you clearly see that the Halacha is in accord by this Maisa Shahaya, that Rabbi Yeshua ben Beseira testified about this person, Ben Megusas, that the Halacha is like Rabbi Akiva's version, that a Sris Adam is allowed to be Choletz and Choltzin Lishto, or Meyabdin Es Ishto. Mishnah continues and says, as Saris lo cholis lo miyabem. According to the opinion, it says the Saris, whether let's say Rabbi Akiva, it's talking about the Sris Chama, or according to Rabbi Eliezer, the Sris Adam, lo cholis lo miyabem. You're not allowed to do chalitza with them, you're not allowed to do yibam with them. So this is also applicable, l'chein eilenis lo choletzis lo miyabem. It's likewise, if the woman is an eilenis, also she doesn't undergo chalitza and she doesn't undergo yibam. Now, the Mishnah continues and says, Hasari shecholas liyavimto lo psola. In this situation where they're not obligated in doing chalitza or yibam, but they did chalitza to the yavama, nevertheless, lo psola. This chalitza doesn't make her like a grusha, which we said would be therefore psula to marry a kohen, but this woman who underwent the chalitza by this sris, it's as if nothing happened, and therefore she's still permitted to go and marry a kohen, because this was unnecessary, and it's no different than if somebody else just took off their shoe and said, spit in front of me. So it has no halachic significance. So even though this woman underwent chalitza, the fact that the sris did the chalitza to her, lo pasla. However, if he did yibam with her, ba'ala, if he had relations with her, well, that doesn't make her into his wife, because there was no heter of yibam here, because this was not b'makom mitzvah, and therefore this was just an aveira, a karis aveira of eishasach shelo b'makom mitzvah. Nevertheless, here, even though they're not considered to be married, nevertheless, this yibam, this bi'ila, Posla does make her no longer able to marry a Kohen. Why? And therefore, she is considered Psulul Kohen from the fact that she underwent a Bilas Znus. And similarly, Chen Eilenis, this woman who was an Eilenis, and they did Chalitza to her, she did Chalitza with her brother-in-law, Shecholzlo Achen, so one of the brothers did Chalitza with her, Lo Psulua. She's not considered as a woman who's undergone Chalitza, she's a widow, and therefore she could still marry a Kohen. No problem, she's not Psulul Kuna. However, Be'ulua, if in fact she underwent, so to say, yibam with one of the brothers, she had relations with one of the brothers, so that's not real yibam, but in that situation, psalua, she is becoming psula lakuna for the same reason we just mentioned a moment ago, libnei should be lost. So this act of relations is considered bilas nus. It's having relations with eishasach shalom b'malkum mitzah, and that's an act of nus that apostles her, nivelu l'apostola, is psula to marry a kohen. Okay, that's the Mishnah. The Gemara starts off and says, Michteh, let's take a look and analyze the Mishnah. The Gemara says, we know that Rabbi Akiva's halacha is, Shamin and Rabbi Akiva, we learned previously that he holds Gomer, Chayvi Labim, Chayvi Kris is Domo. He holds that even Chayvi Labim make a woman both Psula Lakuna, as well as make her, the children into a mamzer, and make her to be considered no different than if she had relations with somebody that would be a chiv kuris for. Rabbi Akiva says chayvi labim are treated halachically like chayvi krisos in this situation. And the chayvi krisos, lab b'nei chalitza v'yibam ninu. But chayvi krisos aren't considered to be b'nei chalitza or yibam under any circumstance. And therefore, since Rabbi Akiva compares chayvi labim, which is a psua daka or krus shavcha, in other words, a saris, is not allowed to go and do Yibam Mechalitza, no different than a Chayvi Karis is not allowed to do Yibam Mechalitza. So how come Rabbi Akiva in our Mishnah explains the Sris is Choletz, the Choltzin Ilishto, how can that possibly be? Rabbi Akiva should say that that's not allowed. There's no difference between this Lav of Lo Yavo Lekol, Tzuidaka, and Krushalcha. So Amar Ravami, Ravami answers, talking about skin, you know, we're talking about Kigon Shenosa Ochiv Giores. We're dealing over here with Reuven had married a Gioras. Now, this Gioras is a perfectly legitimate Jewish wife, and Nebuch, when Reuven passes away, so his brother Shimon has to do Yibam Mechalitza. And in this situation, we're dealing with Shimon was a Saris. Now, if Reuven's wife, Rachel, had in fact been a full-fledged Jewish woman that was Muteris Lovel at Kahal, so then, you're right, Shimon would not have been allowed to do Yibam, based upon Rabbi Akiva saying, the Chayvi Labim, Chayvi Kris is Domu, and therefore, Labin Echalitza v'Yibam Ninu, and therefore, Shimon would not have been able to do Yibam or Chalitza with Reuven's widow. However, here, as I mentioned, Kigon Shinosa Ochiv Gioras. Reuven had married a Gioras. Now, absolutely had to marriage, and she's absolutely a wonderful, nice lady. But she is technically able to marry not only into the Kahal, but she can also marry outside of the Kahal. In other words, she can marry somebody like a Sris. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva Savaloki Rav Yossi, this opinion of Rabbi Akiva goes in accord with Rav Yossi's understanding, the Omar Kahal Gerim Lo Ikre Kahal. So the Gerim are considered not Kahal in this regard, and therefore there is no problem with the Saris doing Yibam with his dead brother's wife, since she is a Gioris, and is not a problem of Lovo Le Kahal, because Kahal Gerim, Lo Ikre Kahal, according to Rav Yossi. And this understanding of Rav Akiva falls within the framework of Rav Yossi's understanding. So what it says, so then, why did we only allow Chalitza, Ihochi, Yibumi, Nami, Miyabim? Then he could have done Yibum. So what it says, you're right, 100%, and Nechanami. Absolutely. Rabbi Akiva would have allowed this Sris Adam to even do Yibum with his dead brother's wife, who was a Gioris. But I did, Amr Rabbi Yeshua Cholet, since Rabbi Yeshua had used the Lashon of Cholet, so over here, Amr Iyu Nami Cholet, so Rabbi Akiva also used the Lashon of Chalitza, but in fact, Yibum would have been perfectly allowed as well, and I'll show you that this is right, Daikonami. Look carefully at the Lashon of Rabbi Akiva. Diktani. The Gemara tells us, Heyid Rabbi Yeshua ben Beseira al ben Megusa. That's at the end of the first part of the Mishnah. We had a story that Maisa Shahaya, that Rabbi Yeshua ben Beseira had testified about this person, ben Megusa, who lived in Yerushalayim, Shoei Yerushalayim, and he was a Swiss Adam. The Yibmu Esishto, it says, Beferish over there, that they did Yibam with his wife. L'kayim Divri Rabbi Akiva, in accord with the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Oh, Shmami, no, you see, the Rabbi Akiva not only would have allowed Chalitza, but even have allowed Yibam. Okay, so that's Rav Ami's understanding of how to explain Rabbi Akiva, why we do allow a Swiss Adam to sometimes do Yibam or Chalitza. Rabbah doesn't like this. Masiv Rabbah, Rabbah said, wait a second, we learned in the following Braisa, Psua Daka, or Khrushchev, people that had these various injuries to their genitals, either to the testicles or to the gid, or a Swiss Adam, a person who had some other sort of an injury or illness that made them, after they were born healthy, that made them subsequently into a Sris Adam, Vazakin, a person who is older, he's very old and is incapable of having children. In these situations, the Braisa says, nevertheless, O Choltzin, O Miyabim, Yibim or Chalitz is allowed to be done. Now, what is the exact circumstance that Rabbah is saying this Braisa is talking about? Ketzad, under what circumstances is Braisa telling us the din? So, Mesu, if we're dealing here with the Psuedak or the Khrushchev or the Suisadim and the Zokim, they were the one that died. They had no children, the Lohem Noshim, but they did have wives. So, Reuven here is the example of the Psuedak or Khrushchev or Suisadim or Zokim, and he has a wife, Rachel, and he has brothers, Shimon, Levi, etc. They're all perfectly normal. So, in this situation, The Braisa says, if Shimon comes along, one of the brothers comes along, v'yomdu achen v'asu maimer, v'nishol seyen, and Shimon comes along and does maimer with one of Reuven's wives. Again, Reuven is the Tzudak or Kushavcho, or the Swiss Odom, or the Zokain, and Shimon does maimer with his wife, so the maimer counts. Nos Nuged, if he were to give a get, it counts. Osha Cholzo, he did Chalitza, it counts. Masha Asuasu. These are halachically valid actions that they did. And likewise, the Imbalu, if Shimon had Yibam with Reuven's widow, Senkanu. This is a valid Yibam. So in the situation where Reuven was the one that was the Tzuadaka, Khrushchev, Khrushchev, the one of Zarkain, they couldn't have children, so then it's a valid Yibam. All the other actions are considered valid. However, if it was Nesu Achin, in a situation where the one who passed away was not the Khrushchevcha, the Tzuedaka, the Srisodom, or the Zokain. He was a perfectly normal person. So Reuven is now a perfectly normal person. And Shimon, who is the one who is the Tzuedaka, Khrushchevcha, the Srisodom, or the Zokain. So in that situation, Mesu Achin, the healthy brother, dies, and his wife Rachel falls to the Tzuedaka, Khrushchevcha, Srisodom, or Zokain, Vamdu Hain, Vasu Maimer Binishosayim, and this, we call it the Swiss Adam for sure, but it means the Psuadaka, the Khrushchevcha, the Swiss Adam, or the Zokain, they did Maimer with the widow of Reuven, the healthy brother Reuven, or Minas Nugat or Holtzu, Masha Asuasu. Whatever they did, it accomplished it. The Imbalu Kanu, and if they did Yibam, it also works. However, Vasu Lakaima, but they're not allowed to continue to maintain this marriage, albeit they're married via Yibam, because of the pasuk Mishum Shenemar Lo Yovo Btzuadako Khrushchevcha B'Kal Hashem. They're not allowed to stay married to them because they're not allowed to go and be part of the Kal Hashem. So in this situation, when they did a perfectly valid Yibam with Rachel, the wife of Reuven, it was Aser, but the mitzvah of Yibam preceded that, and therefore once the mitzvah of Yibam is done, so they have to go and divorce their wives because they're not allowed to be part of Kal Hashem. Amor b'kahal askina. So you see that we're dealing over here with the Yavama, who's not a kiyores. That's why Rabba questions the answer that Rav Ami gave. Again, Rav Ami's teretz was that we're dealing over here kagon shenosa achiv kiyores. For from this brisa, you see that it doesn't have to be a kiyores. It was a perfectly legitimate woman. The marriage was 100% kosher lova lekal, and yet you see that the yibum counts. Albeit we say that they can't stay married because lo yova lekal. So how was this allowed to be done in the first place? According to Rabbi Akiva, it should have been that the chalitz or the yibam should not have been good. El Amar Rabba. So Rabba says, you know how you have to understand it? So you have to say over here that the brother Shimon, who was eventually a Swiss Adam, was not a Swiss Adam at the time that Reuven passed away. And when Reuven's wife Rachel fell to him, he wasn't yet a Swiss Adam. And then at some point subsequent to that, he becomes a Swiss Adam. And therefore, the Yibum did the obligation to be Miyabimer, took effect before he became a Swiss Adam. And that's why, in this situation, the Brisa says, Masha Kona Kona, that the Bila that he did acquired her, because there was this obligation previously to do Yibum before he became a Swiss Adam. But now, he can't stay married to her, because now there's an issue of Yovo Bekal Hashem. I'm going to buy advice to Rabba. Why don't we say, Velese Isser Petsua Daka? Why doesn't this Isser Petsua Daka override the Nidche Ase the Yibam and prevent us from even allowing Yibam in the first place? Even though the Yibam was first and then came the Swiss Adam, nevertheless, we should say, after all, didn't we learn in the Mishnah, Milot Nan Rav Galil Omer, in a case where we had two brothers that married two sisters, Reuven married Rachel, and that was a marriage that was Gadol to a Gedola, and then Shimon was married midrabanan to Leah, the sister of Rachel. And then what happened? Reuven died. And now Rachel falls to her brother-in-law. Now her brother-in-law is married midrabanan to her sister. In this situation, there's a zika daraisa from Rachel to Shimon, but there's an issa derabanan because Shimon is married midrabanan to her sister. So what should you do in this situation? So Ramliel said, im miyana miyana, let Leah go and do miyun with Shimon. That totally abrogates the marriage. There no longer is achos ishto situation. And therefore, in this situation, now the din daraisa of Yibum can take effect between Rachel and Shimon, because Shimon's midrabanan marriage has been totally abrogated. So that marriage to Rachel's sister, Leah, never occurred. And therefore, there's no problem in doing the Yibum. Alternatively, Ramulil said, v'yim lav, if he doesn't wish to do it, he says, I love my wife, albeit we're only married midrabanan, I love her. So he should do, in this situation, tamtin ashtagdil, let then not do Yibum Machalitza. Let Leah, she's 11 years old, become 12 years old, have Bia with her after she's a Gedola, and then the Tetzei Al-Azul, Mishom Achos Isha. And now there's no longer a requirement for Rachel to have Yibum with Shimon, because now it's Achos Ishto. He's married to her sister, and therefore the Yibum falls apart. Now, even though the Yibum took effect first, but we say that, no, let it fall apart now. Amo Asa Isser Achos Isha. So now the Isser of Achos Isha, which subsequently came into place, Vidachi. It pushes aside the original Chiyuv of Yibum. So too, let us say in our case that the original Chiyuv of Yibum to this Shimon before he became a Siris Adam should be pushed aside. Hachanami, Nesa Yisra Ptsur Daka, let the fact that he now never became a Ptsur Daka be pushed aside for Nidchei. And it should be exactly the same case as Rabbi Gamliel said. So therefore, Abai doesn't like what Rabbi had suggested. So Elo Amar Yosef, what's the answer? Haitana, Hachtana Devi Rabbi Akiva Hidyama. How do we explain Rabbi Akiva? It goes in accord with this opinion of Rabbi Akiva. There were several different opinions of Rabbi Akiva who said the Chayvi Lavim make you into a mamzer, and the Chayvi Lavim are also. We have three different opinions about Rabbi Akiva. And therefore, we have Mechayvi Lavim Disher, a lav that is based upon a relative. A she'er is a relative, so that if a child is produced from such an isser relationship with a relative, even though it's only a lab, that makes the child a mamzer. That's Rabbi Akiva's opinion. But mechayvi labim geride, if it's from a lab that is of a lower nature, it's not with a relative, it's a different type of a lab, such as psuadaka, that lo heavy mamzer would not make a mamzer. And that's how you have to explain Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah why it's allowed, choletz leishto, is because even according to Rabbi Akiva, this is not the type of lav that is compared to an iser of kares. Gemara continues and questions Rabbi Akiva's explanation further. It says, "Ikri kan lohakim liochiv shem." It tells us that the whole mitzvah of Yibum is to bring a name in the place of the dead brother. So why don't we say by lav bar hachiyu that this sris adam is incapable of doing so? So therefore, the mitzvah shouldn't apply. So Rava says simple teretz. Imkain, he says, Ein l'cha isha shekshehu liyavam. There would never be any woman that would be allowed to have yibam because shelo naso ba'al suiz chamo shu'achas kodim nisoso. Because in this situation, every woman, when the husband dies, so the husband dies at that moment of death, he's incapable of having children. He's a suiz chama. He's in such a situation that every single person would never then have the mitzvah of yibam because there can't be l'hokim shem ochiv. So therefore, this doesn't apply. That's what Rava says. Now, I should point out that it's clear that Rav is using this term Sris Chama is actually meaning Sris Adam, the way we define Sris Adam. Because we've defined Sris Chama as somebody that was born in a situation where we couldn't have children. And here, obviously, this person, right before his death, was a perfectly fertile person beforehand. And it's only death, the throngs of death, that make him into incapable of having children. So this Lashon of Sris Chama is not the same that we've been talking about till now. This literally means that he's become, because of the Chama, because of the fever that's occurring before death, so this is a Lashon of Sris Adam. It doesn't really mean Sris Chama. So that's important to understand, because now the Gemara says, L'Rabbi Elazar, Piruka Derava Piruchi. According to Rabbi Elazar, who said in our Mishnah that only a real Sris Chama, a person born with infertility, he's capable of doing Chalitza or Choltzin Liishto, because there's a potential in this situation for refuah, right? Rabbi Elazar Shita was, Mipnei She'en Lo Refuah, so a Sris Chama, in the true sense of the word born with it, has the potential to be healed. But a person who has either traumatic injury or has an illness, so that person is a Sris Adam, can never be healed. So the way Rava understood it, a person right before his death is a Sris Adam. And yet it says that the question from Rava was, otherwise there would never be a single person that wouldn't be a Sris Adam right before the death. Again, the terminology they use is Sris Chava, but it means Sris Adam right before his death. And that means that a Sris Adam is allowed to be Choletz Choltzin Lishto. Kineged what Rabbi Eliezer said, Piruka de Rava Pirchei. This explanation of Rava is actually a question on Rabbi Eliezer. Shumar says, no. When Rava says that the person is not going to be capable of giving birth, it just means Hasam Kechishusa the Aschilabe. It's a weakness. His dying is a weakness. But he's not going to be having children because he's in such a weakened state, but not because he technically is a Sris Adam. So therefore, this answer of Rava is an Akash on Rabbi Eliezer. Finally, the Gemara says, Hechi Domi Sris Chama. How do we define Sris Chama in our Mishnah? Again, we brought down Rashi from before. Rashi already explained that a Sris Chama is a person that was born, Mimei Imo. So I'm Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef. I'm Rav Yochanan. Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef is the name of Rav Yochanan. Call and we turn to Pei Omid Aleph. Shelo ro shoachas v'chashrus. So as we said, he was born b'mei imo. He's born this way. As Rashi again here points out, shelokum b'mei imo. He's born this way. Gemara says, how do you know that somebody's born as a Swiss Chama? The little baby is a few minutes old. How do you tell that he's born without capability of having fertility? Mino yadinan. How do we know this? So Abaye says, kolamato mayim ein osa kippa, that when the baby urinates, a brand new baby urinates, and if it doesn't form an arch, it doesn't form a kippa, Rashi saying, "Ein kiluach hashes and holech lemirachok," that the urine doesn't travel some distance like in an arched format. So kishu matu klapi mala, when he urinates while he's lying on his back and urinating upwards, vein osa kikipa, it doesn't make like some sort of a dome, some sort of an arch. So then you can tell that this person is born as a Swiss Chama. So Gemara says, how does this happen? Mimai havoi. What causes this? So the Gemara says, the afya ime betiara, that his mother had baked bread during the middle of the day. Tiara is an expression for the middle of the day. Shem mechamemasa chom hatanur v'chom hatzorayim, a combination of the heat from the oven and the heat of the middle of the day, in combination with v'shasa shichra marka, and she also drank a certain type of beer, shichra marka. Rashi says shechar mazug, it's a diluted type of beer, or ikudam rechazuk, it's a very strong type of beer. In any event, this combination of drinking this shechar marka along with the heat of the oven and the heat of the middle of the day is going to cause the baby inside of her to be impacted. So again, you see, the Chazal understood that things that the mother does during her pregnancy can obviously impact the growing fetus inside. I'm Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef Eidzelby, he says, "Hainu d'shamar." This is what I heard. Liami, Rav Ami, the Amr, that he said the following statement: "Kol shemimei imo lakoi." Somebody who's hit, so to say, they had this impact from the time they were inside their mother's womb. I know what he's talking about. Liodana ma'iniu. Where it says, why don't we concern ourselves? Alecho Shema Hivri Ben Time. Maybe he got better in between. Okay, he was born this way, then he got better, so he's now perfectly fertile, and only later he becomes infertile again. So he's a Swiss Adam and not a Swiss Chama. Where it says, no. If you're telling me that this child originally was born as a Swiss Chama, he was born infertile, and then now we find him infertile in between, lo chashina, we don't have to be concerned that he actually got better in between and then he got sick again. Why not? More says, Moshe Ravami, Rabbi Chanina ben Tignas Omer, Bokino so Sholosh Pomim, so Shmonim Yom. This is a reference to certain types of mumim, blemishes that go in the eye. And they're present at the beginning, they're present at the end, but you have to check in the middle to make sure that the person didn't get healed. So Rabbi Chanina ben Tignas said, you have to check in Bokino so Sholosh Pomim 3 times during this 80-day period of time, because maybe he actually got healed, even though at the beginning and at the end he is sick, but maybe he got better in between. So you see that we do concern ourselves that maybe he got better in between. So Gemara says, no. L'chad Aver, in regards to the eye, one organ, chayshina, we do have to be concerned that maybe he got better. Aval l'kuli gufe, this person who's a Swiss Chama from birth, his entire body, so to say, was impacted. Lo chayshina, we don't concern ourselves that maybe he got better and then it got worse again. So if he's infertile at the beginning and he's fertile at the end, then we can definitely say that he was definitely infertile the entire middle time as well. With this, we conclude today's share.